People like we, Master, that you could think of us, Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world, Lord, and made a plan for us to come unto thee, Master. When we were lost, you are the one that sought for us, Lord. Lord, we were not the one that was crying unto thee. You are the one seeking for us, Lord, calling us, Lord Jesus, in our hiding places where we are, thinking that we are serving you, Lord. Lord, but we knew that something was not right yet. Oh, but we thank you, Father, that you made a way for us to come, Lord Jesus, unto thee. And as many as have not found this grace to come, Lord, you are still calling. Oh, blessed be thy name, Father. We appreciate thee, Master. Lord, while we were lost, while we were undone, oh, living God, in the world, you sought for us and brought us unto thee to be called your sons and your daughters. Lord Jesus, we say, blessed be thy name, Master. Take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning service, Lord. We thank you for your word, Master. Your word is true. Oh, your word is chaste. Your word is right. Your word is wonderful. We rejoice and we appreciate thee, Master. Lord, for the plan of salvation and for the plan, the way you have made for your children to pass, the path that you have allotted for each one of our children to pass. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. Oh, living God, evermore, feed us with this word, Master. Be with us, Lord Jesus, this evening, Lord. Lord, we are looking unto thee once again, Father. We are looking unto thee to bless us, to add to what you have done for us in the morning. Lord Jesus, be gracious unto us, Master. Come down as you always do and do special things once again, Lord. Be with us, Lord Jesus. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Speak to our hearts, O living God. May something be said to help us to live better to your glory. The sick and the afflicted, we pray that to touch and heal and deliver, loving Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, we pray that you fill with the Holy Ghost and refill with the Holy Ghost. Let the blessed Holy Spirit take the preeminence once again in this service, that your name be glorified, Lord, at the end of the service, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, brethren. You are welcome to the service again this evening. We will not be long. See, we have heard the gospel in the morning. Just a little word or two before we go home. God bless you. Let's open to our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll read from verses 11 to 24. Luke 15 from verse 11 to 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he decided and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the hawks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, it's good to come to ourselves. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and we say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. Like I said, we will not be long. Just a word or two, trusting that God will use it to be a blessing unto us before we go home. Because if, like I used to say, if not that we have planned it that we should have evening service. Well, the way God dealt with us in the morning is, if we go home just like that, we have not come to church in vain. God has done something special for us today. Blessed be his holy name. So this evening, or this afternoon, we just want to look at a short sermon, Brother Bram titled it Prodigal. prodigally. Preach it, 1950-08-27. Afternoon. 50-08-27 in the afternoon. Brother Bram said in his church many years, some years before this time that he preached this sermon, he said he preached this sermon in his church, the return of the prodigal. He said when he preached it in his church then, he said he preached it in the way of the Pharisees. That is the latter part of the story that we are looking at. He said when this son came back to home to his father, the elder son was not happy. And the elder son came to his father and said, you see, I've been here. I've been obedient to you all this while. You did not even deem it fit to give me a fat calf, to give me a kid, to kill and make merry with my friends. But when this your son came, who has lived with allot and wasted your property, you now brought a fat calf and killed and said people should make merry. Brother Brown said, he told the church then that they should not feel like that when a sinner comes to God. Praise the Lord. He said, when a sinner comes to God, the people should gather around the sinners that has come to the altar to God. And he said one time he went to a church. In the evening, he preached in this church, I think a Baptist church. He preached in this church, and after he preached that evening, the following morning, the people went to their work. So he went for squirrel hunting. They are all in this sermon. What I've seen are in this sermon. He went for squirrel hunting. And in the wood that day, that morning, he said he heard the people talking. About five of them were talking. They were sowing wood in the wood. And they were talking, commenting on the service in the last evening. Saying they were talking how good the service was. That one of them said, the preacher tell the truth, spoke the truth. So he decided to go and to go to them and maybe greet them and pass his way. He said by the time he got to them, about five of them sawing wood. He said one of them was with a big cigarette, tobacco. Yeah, he said tobacco. A big chew tobacco was in his mouth. But when he saw Brother Bram said, he did something funny. He swallowed that tobacco he was smoking. He swallowed it and said, good morning, Pastor Abraham. Brother Bram said, oh my. Said that was enough to kill him. But because he saw a righteous man, a preacher coming to him, and he was doing something wrong, he was checked, quickly swallowed the tobacco. Said, good morning, Pastor Abraham. Do you know what? The man was not respecting Brother Abraham. The man was respecting the God that Brother Abraham preached. Praise the Lord. And that is how it goes. When you respect a man for what he stands for, especially this gospel way, there is no way God will not respect you. Praise the Lord. And Brother Bram said, in the evening that day, when they continued the service, he said he was preaching. He said a young man came into the meeting riding his horse. Brother Bram said, in the place where he was preaching, they parked cars. But in that place, he said, it was horses that they packed, that they tied down. He said, this boy got down from his horse, and he was listening to the service. At a point, he said, God, have mercy on me. He was running to the altar for God to save him. Tell, maybe he will save me. Brother Brown said, about 50 mummies grab him before he got halfway going to the altar. About 50 mummy grabbed him and went to the altar with him. Brother Bram said they stood there for about 2 hours praying, crying unto the Lord. He said by the end of the 2 hours, he said they did not get to the altar with dry high confession, Brother Branham said they got to the altar and they were praying. Brother Branham said by the end of the 2 hours, you can take their clock and squeeze the sweat out of those cloths. He said they went back home singing, shouting hallelujah. He said you might think that is, you don't want that kind of an old gospel. Sorry, they didn't say it that way. Let me just say, read the way they said it. The same sermon. Paragraph 8 towards the end. There was about 50 some old conversion that afternoon. And now they don't get down there and just make a dry-eyed confession and get up. They prayed through about 2 hours of it. They got up, their clothes were so wet you could just shrink them out where they had perspired. They got out shouting and down through the wood and up over the hills they went hollering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, folk, you might have been Baptist, but they had real old-time Holy Ghost religion. That's right. Because they lived that way. By your fruit, you are known. That's true. Praise the Lord. That was how Brother Brown read the scripture and he started this sermon. Brother Brown said in this sermon, the scripture that we read, it was the Lord Jesus Christ giving this parable. He said the Pharisees were murmuring that Jesus Christ, if you go to the beginning of the chapter, the Pharisees were murmuring that Jesus Christ received the sinners, the ones they call sinners. They themselves don't know they are what? Sinners in the sight of God. We are coming. They regarded some people to be sinners. They were saints. But in the sight of God, they were worse than the people that were calling sinners. May God help us. So, they said Jesus Christ was receiving sinners and he was eating with sinners. And they were complaining and murmuring about that. Then Jesus Christ gave 3 parables. One of it is what the one we read. He gave parables about the lost sheep. He gave parable about the lost coin that a woman wears on his head in those days. And he gave parable about this lost son. Praise the Lord. If you look at the 3 parables, lost sheep. A sheep is a sheep. A sheep is not a goat. When a sheep gets lost, the owner loses for it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when he finds this sheep, he comes by putting it on his shoulder, calling his friend to come and rejoice with him. He was not looking for a lost goat. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus Christ talked about the lost coin. Brabham taught us these coins were the ones that the people of old, women of old wear on their head, which indicates about their virtues. He said, if their husband travels and any one of those coins got lost, she will be divorced. Because it might be that he has committed adultery, adultery, while the husband was away. Because those coins must not be lost. He said, if that woman now loses one of the coins, she will light the candle and be sweeping the whole house looking for these coins. By the time she finds this coin, what does she do? She calls her neighbor, come and rejoice with me because I find my coin that is lost. Praise the Lord. They were a coin. And this lost son, this lost son, he was a son. Praise the Lord. You look for your property that was lost. Except people just gather around you to help you look for that. But you that lost something, you are the one that are looking for it. And when you find it, you do what? Rejoice. That was why Jesus Christ said that in heaven there is rejoicing when a sinner comes to God. Praise ye the Lord. Then Brother Brown said, you wondered. Let me try to read that because there is something we want to bring out on that. He said he wondered about his life, how his life would have been without Jesus. He remembered the time when he was told that his father was told that he has three minutes to live. If it were not Jesus Christ, that would have been the end of his life. He said then all his sins were sins before him. Let me read. From paragraph 10. As a minister or as a speaker, I'm not. My part in this Lord here on earth is to pray for the sick people, which I greatly love to do. And I'm not educated. You know, Brother Brown used to say that. The only thing that I can say is when I read the scripture, just look for every word, just as it says it then, and I have to say it. And you pray with me, all of you, and ministers, brother, while I try to speak on this subject for just a few minutes. And notice, both Jesus speaking this parable, he was trying to express the feeling of the Father to the lost, to those who were annihilated from God, gone out. Remember, one time we were all annihilated, cut off from God, without mercy, without hope, walking about in the world of darkness, lost forever. Jesus taking our place as a sinner and died in our stead. And the Father received us gladly, since the Son has become the sinner. How the marvelous gospel. I've often wondered, what would life be? What could I ever expect if it had not been for Jesus? Where would I be? What would be my fate? I laid in the hospital not long. The best medical doctor, I guess, a patient could ask, look into my face. After anesthetic by mystic went to my heart. Shocked to find the anesthetic was above where that it shouldn't be. It went to my heart. My heart was only beating 17 times per minute. The doctor told my father, has 3 minutes to live. Oh my, how will I ever get out of that place? 3 minutes to live, and all my sins stood before me. He was not a Christian then, you know the story. All my sins stood before me. Faith that I did not claim. Sin to stand before me as sin. Many times we Christians here, we try to justify ourselves. You say, well, this isn't very bad, but the least sin should be confessed always, no matter what, how little it looks to you, is sin in the sight of God. The Bible says we cannot continue in sin and expect what? Grace to abound. People thought that God is a magician. God is not a magician. The Bible says, David said, I cannot hide iniquity in my heart and expect God to hear me. Praise the Lord. Whatever we are asking God for, remember, if there is a sin will not allow God to move. But Abraham said, if you are committed a sin, he said he doesn't care how many oil the minister pour on your head. They can pour a gallon of oil on your head. He said the devil has a right to stand where he's standing if there is a sin in our life. And God is waiting for us to confess our sins before he will ever help us. Or will ever help us. May God be gracious unto us. Let's continue. Okay? Is sin in the sight of God? Look how little the first sin was. Not so little, but Rabban said how little here. But look what it did to human race. When the first sin was committed, look at the difference. When the message came to heaven that your son has fallen, where it looked like Adam ought to have been running around through the garden, calling, oh father, where are you? But Adam went and hid himself.
And it was just vice versa. It was the father calling, "Son, son, where art thou?" Well, see how man will try to justify himself. He will try to stand behind something instead of coming right out and say what he is and confessing his sin before God. He will try to hide behind something. That is the pitiful side of it. And here was the searching of God, walking, running up and down through the garden, screaming for his lost boy. The father hunting, searching for the son. It should have been the son searching for the father. And today is just the same. Just as soon as man sins, and instead of coming out and confessing his sin before God, he will try to get back. He will try to hide behind something. He will try to get a self-made religion. Those are the two things that people do. See that they run away, they are hiding, or they try to justify themselves and go to a place where they will have or form for themselves a self-made religion. We are coming. Self-made religion. Look at Adam. They made apron of fig leaf and put it around them, the fig leaf. But when they come to the place where God called Adam and Eve to stand before him, they realized that they had a man-made religion. The word religion means a covering, and they were covered by self-made apron. You see it now. That strain is in man yet today. And instead of trying to come God's way of repentance and believing on his son, letting the blood of his son cleanse us from our sin, we sleep around, try to find some other way, some way of escape from coming God's way. We say, well, this religion, we will join this. We will do this where we will do this where it's not quite so strict. We will do this where it's not quite so strict. And the fig leaf and the fig made leaves, when they had to face God, was no good. And you will find out, my dear friend, that man-made theory will not stand when you are standing down to the last breath of this life. And this life is good to live by those things, but you can't die by them. Praise the Lord. It's good to live by a self-made religion, but you dare not die by them. May God help us. I guess for my age in the ministry, I've properly stood by as many dying people as anyone of my age, because I've been much called home to the dying. May God help us. But Abraham then gave the story of a lady. I will try to relate it. He gave the story of a lady, we know the story, that was in a denomination. This lady, very social, in his denomination, she was the Sunday school teacher. And there is another lady that attends Brother Abraham Church. This lady that attends Brother Abraham Church spoke to this lady about her soul condition, that the way she's living is not right. But she would not listen. Of course, maybe she told her pastor. The pastor said, "Don't mind them. They are holy ruler." And the pastor told her that, you see, all that they are shouting about, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus dried up 1900 years or 2000 years ago, and that blood is no more effective. All that, maybe they will say that all that we need to do today is just to serve God as they come to church and serve God. That is all. May God be gracious unto us. So, it is true. Let me say this, brethren. It is true, the blood of Jesus dried up Maybe when he fell on the ground, he dried up 2,000 years ago. But that is in according to man's understanding. But that blood is still effective up to today. And God did not leave us with our own understanding. He said the way to come under the blood, he told us the way. Repent of your sin and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you on the cross at Calvary. Repent for remission of sins. Then be baptized in water in that. Okay, repent and be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the right way to come under the blood. That was why Brother Brown said it's not the chemistry of the blood, but the life that came out of the blood. Praise the Lord. Their pastor was looking at the chemistry of the blood. Not the chemistry of the blood anymore. It is the life that came out of that blood. Praise the Lord. That is why the way, like I was telling the children in the morning, in the Sunday school, you see, we are to live by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. The God that wanted us to come to his kingdom, he gave us the way to come to his kingdom. God has never left his children all ages without his right way for his children to approach unto him. Praise the Lord. And that is why he taught us today the right way to come under the blood is what we have just said. Repent, be baptized in water in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, for remission of sin. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the right way, no other way to come under the blood. May God help us. So this man, oh mercy, this man, he told the Sunday school teacher lady, don't mind them. Rabbi said, this lady that come to their church just received the Holy Ghost. She said, she dressed old-fashioned like. She wear her hair long, tie her hair to the back, and she doesn't paint her face. Brother said, but this other lady paints her face and have manicure. Brother said, we teach against that. Oh, let's read it. Let's see it. Let's read that. Let's see that aspect. Brother said, we teach against that. Be natural is what he taught our sister. Put manicure. Put all this fashion thing. All those stuff. Okay? Look at. Okay, are you there? Yeah. Yes. It is the truth. We teach against it. Let's go up a little. Let's go a little. Let's be good. See. Okay, this little girl come up to the tabernacle. She kind of dressed kind of old fashioned. She used to go down the street and her hair combed back just as tight as she could get it without this. Ever what you call the manicure on her face. Or ever what the stuff is that they wear. On down the street, she will go. Yes, is the truth. We teach against it. God help preachers to get down to the gospel. Listen, lady, there was only one woman in the Bible that ever painted herself to meet a man. Oh, may God help us. No woman dressed the way they dress today to go and meet God. They dress that way to meet their boyfriends. God is not interested in the way they dress, tight cloth. Show me your back, show me your chest, show me your tights. God is not interested in those dresses. That is why they will not dress like that to come to church. Some people dress like that, that come to church, they dress like that in other places, but they will not come to dress like that to church. May God be merciful to us. If you see dress like that, you are of the world. You need to repent. If you dress like that, maybe in your schools, you dress like that, you put on, just to, not to look old-fashioned, as you said. Not to look old school, like you will say. You need Christ in your soul. Better repent. May God help us. So, Brabham said, we teach against that. Brabham said, that is scriptural. The only woman that was ever painted up to go and meet man was Jezebel. What did Brabham say happened to her? He fed her to the dogs. And Brabham said, you would not want something like that for yourself. Let's stop there. Because this other part, because of the little ones, I don't want us to... Yeah. God bless you. So this girl, this lady, rather, Sunday school teacher, Brabham said she goes... She teaches Sunday school. She goes to party. She has friends, boyfriends. She has boyfriends. May God be merciful to those who see her boyfriend, girlfriends. You are walking your way to hell. Let's listen. Let's follow this girl. Just follow. Let's follow. Brabham said it. I won't read it. We'll just continue. She has friends, boyfriends. And she, though a Sunday school teacher in the church, she continues until a time came. She did what? She caught disease. She was sick. And they took her to the doctor. The doctor examined her. They said, venereal disease. Venereal disease is curable. But I think in another sermon, Brabham said her whole case has gone in advanced stage. There were holes in her body. So the doctor could not help her. And when she was dying, they knew that nothing could be done for her. The doctor said she cannot be helped. But the story, according to where Brabham said it, was that the Sunday school student classes, they came to this sister that was dying, wanted to sing for her to see her the way she goes to heaven. Just like they did for Porida. You remember Porida? Yeah, Porida was a minister, a Christian, dying. And Brown said the choir came to sing for him in the place where he was when he was dying. The glasses were closed. They covered the glasses. He was in a dark place. And they were singing, Nyara. My God to thee. But I would say, when Porida woke up, he said, what kind of a song are you singing? Sing me a good gospel song. He said, pull the window. Let that light come in. And later when they were singing, that was how he passed to glory. So maybe they wanted to mimic that. The Sunday school class came to sing for this their teacher who was dying. And they gathered around her, they were singing. But I said, when death eat this girl, she came up, he said, where is that girl? But she mentioned the name of the lady that was attending Abraham's church. Go and call her, go and call her. Instead of calling the girl, they went to call their pastor. Said their pastor was also there in the same building where the girl was dying. The pastor just left the place to smoke. So when the pastor got there, he said, oh, lady, you are becoming hysterical. So we'll call the doctor. The doctor, he said, no, I'm not hysterical. He said, you deceiver of men. He said, you told me that I was all right. He said, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. You didn't tell me the truth, something like that. And he said, they should go and call the girl, but they didn't go and call the girl. But Abraham said, she died and went to meet God, lost. Praise the Lord. That is the way of a sinner. Religiosity is not Christianity, like we used to say. You can be the preacher. You can be the drummer. You can be anything you are doing in the house of God. If you don't have Christ in your life, God has no respect for the church that you attend without Christ in your soul. We are saying our home. We are saying the truth. We are hammering on it as hardly as we could. Coming to church is not Christianity. Oh, mercy. coming to church, being a Christian is having the life of Christ in you and living that life. Of course, you cannot have the life of Christ in you and not live the life. You can come to church and sleep in church. If you are not converted, you are lost. Saith the prophet. May God be gracious unto us. See, there is provision for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is provision for us to see God and to find God. But what are we doing about it? May God help us. That was the way the girl was lost. May that not be your portion. How can we continue to hear this wholesome gospel? How can we continue to hear this truth and still be foolish in around? Oh, so you don't respect God. Honestly speaking, it shows that you don't have any respect for God. Look at the man that we talked that was smoking. He saw Brother Abraham alone. He swallowed the cigarette. That was a respect not to William Branham, but a respect to God. Then you come to this kind of a place and you are committing fornication and adultery and you think that you will make it. If you don't repent, you are lost. Mercy. Is it that hard? I mean, are we fighting? We are not fighting. We are preaching the gospel. You see, okay, with this little time, we'll continue. We are not in a hurry. I was thinking while I was studying this sermon, a thought came to me about Daniel. Daniel was what was the age, rather, of Daniel when he was taken to Babylon? Brother Branham said between 12 and 14 years. He was taken to Babylon. He was not in Israel. But Daniel did something good. Daniel had some good qualities about him. Daniel went with what? Sermon book. 12, 14 years. A boy of 12, 14 years with the love of God in his heart. He went with sermon books. And not only that, we thank God, Daniel had companion that they fellowship together. We are coming to. Brother said, when you live an atmosphere, a church atmosphere, when you live the Holy Ghost atmosphere, Brother said, you are going back. So Daniel had companion, and Daniel did something wonderful. Daniel proposed in his heart at his age. He proposed in his heart that he will not sing against God. He will not take the king's meat and drink the king's wine. Praise the Lord. That is how he starts. Decision. He made a decision. Ruth made a clear-cut decision. Of course, we know that cannot happen without revelation. But what decision have you made for God? Daniel made a decision. Listen, the way if you don't like the way I normally say it, just bear with me. The way I say it when I read the scripture, the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar told his Enoch, he said they should look for sons of the king, princes. They should look for them and bring them to the palace. So that they might be taught for 3 years, or we say in this day, 3 years course, to be taught on the language of the Chaldeans. They were to come to the king's palace, to the campus, for 3 years course, on the language of the Chaldeans. And so that is why, when you go to universities, and you are misbehaving, you don't have excuse. Daniel went to the university, as we say, in the king's palace to study, maybe we say linguistic, maybe we say Yoruba language. And Daniel decided that, I will not defy myself with the king's meat and the king's wine. I will serve the Lord my God, even in this place. When he had the opportunity of feeding and eating and becoming fat, he said, no, I will serve the Lord in this place. That was a decision Daniel made. And you cannot make that kind of decision and God will not regard or respect your decision. You see, when you make a decision for God, God is there to help you. Praise the Lord. Oh, mercy. I was just thinking about parents, our parents. Many of the people that you see here, sisters, young sisters. This message, Brother Brown targeted it to the young sisters and brothers. We are coming. Maybe we are trying to close. Sister, you see your daddies and your mummies. Many of you sisters, your mummies are more pitier than you when they were at your age. Yeah. You think we don't know? Your mummies are more prettier than you when they were at your age. Your daddies, thank God for your daddies. Your daddies serve the Lord at their younger age. But what are these younger ones doing for God? What are you doing? What are you doing for God? What have you done for the Lord? How have you? I was asking them today in the Sunday school. I said, since after the Easter meeting, we started our holidays on Easter holiday, on Good Friday. That was when the holiday started. After the Easter meetings, I said, how many of you consecrated yourself to God between that time and now? How many of you read the sermon, read one sermon, or read the Bible and consecrated yourself to God between that time and now? When you start your schooling now, you go in the morning, you come in the evening. When you come back home in the evening, what will you be doing? Trying to do your homework. Before you finish your homework, it's already late. The next thing is what? Go to bed. Next day, start going to school again. Where do you have the time? And this time that you only have to consecrate yourself to God, wasted it away. When we were like you, it wasn't like this. You've heard preachers said it over and over again. Today, everybody wants to write Pajero, or write Lexus. You want to be rich. We were not looking for riches. We were looking for Christ. Oh, mercy. Some of the preachers here, they started preaching as early as 18, 19. What are you doing for God? What have you done for the Lord? You see, I was telling them this morning that you are the fathers and mothers of tomorrow. If you don't build yourself up now, what will you teach your children? What will you teach your children? What do you have? What knowledge do you have of God that you will pass across to your children? We were not like you. Oh, this is your age. May God help you. People be running after you because you are running after girls, you are running after boys. Is that the first thing? Seek the Lord your God in the days of your youth. This is what the Bible says. But when you are running after money, running after terrible things, you will reap white wind. May that not be your person. May God help us. See the Lord your God in the days of your youth. Do something for God. Daniel proposed in his heart that he will serve the Lord at that tender age. And God had respect to his decision. Just as God had respect to Ruth's decision. Clear cut decision. What decision have you made for the Lord? Where you are, how do people know you? If they see Bible in your hand, would they be laughing? Olua Femi not also carry Bible today. Is that the way that they will be laughing at you? Shame on you. You are not proud of what you believe. At your age, many of you are 18, many of you are all this. And yet, you are ashamed of the gospel. Oh, it's not good. May God help us. Well, let's look for a place to close. Now, okay. We have, let's quickly, okay, let's quickly try to say this before we close. Brother Brown said somebody told him that He said, my religion is a golden rule. And what is in the golden rule? Do as to others what you want them to do to you. So that is my religion. But that is not God's religion. Like I used to say, my people used to say, me o payan, mi ni kini kini ko to ma ni keji omo da, mi o se bayi, mi o se yi. That is not religion. That is not Christianity, I mean to say. It's not Christianity. Let's listen to the prophet. But Abraham said, he said, that is my religion. But Abraham said, but that does not have salvation in it. He said, except a man be born again, he will no wise enter into the kingdom. Born of the Spirit of God, renewed, regenerated, become a new person in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and all things become new. Converted, change over. Going one way before, and change, and turn, and come this other way. Vice versa. Praise the Lord. Then Brother Abraham said, when Adam sinned, God do two things for Adam. Adam had fig leaves, covered himself. But what did God do for Adam when they came to before God? When they were covered with fig leaves, they thought they were okay. But when they came in the presence of God, they found out that that was not okay. Praise the Lord. Then what did God do? God killed an innocent animal for this guilty son of God and daughter of God. He killed an innocent animal. When he killed the innocent animal, the blood of this innocent animal remitted their sins, or covered their sin rather. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. A Christianity has blood in it. And that's the blood of our Savior that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary. So when God killed this animal, innocent animal, Bible said God skinned the skin of this animal and used it to cover their nakedness. Praise the Lord. Bible said, so is it today. Not golden rules, which is right, not Ten Commandments, which is holy, but God himself came in human flesh to take the death upon himself. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, the innocent for the guilty, to make a way that you and I might be innocent in him before God. Praise the Lord. Then Brother Brown, as we close, gave the testimony of Captain Hafara. This captain was in charge of the racket. I think that's the way to call it. I think racket has to do with, did I get it right? I think said. Oh my. Okay. Yeah, racket. He said he's in charge of racket. And racket has to do with a noisy gathering. He said his duty is to break up racket, a noisy gathering that doesn't make the money. That is his duty as a captain. So when he said, when he heard about the meetings of William Branham, he said he decided to go and see whether he can break it up also. Maybe it's a noisy gathering. He said when he got to the place, he saw that the man was doing some discernment and people were getting healed. So they went to the police force. They went to police people. They got a boy that has a police father who had polio. And they got this boy. They stayed about 2 days in the meeting. They got this boy to the prayer line. And when the boy got to the prayer line, Brabant said, the problem is polio. And he told the father, did you believe? He said, he believes. He said, if you believe, within 8 days, this boy will be okay and will walk with his leg again and go back to school. So he said they left. That was now this Captain Afara came to the meeting. This day that Brabham was talking about, the time Brabham was talking about this testimony. And as Brother Boswell was to invite Brother Abraham to the platform, Captain Hafara came and interrupted. He said, I have something to say. Raboswa said, no, we don't allow anybody to see anything at this time. Then he showed his ID card. He said, I'm Captain Hafara. Okay. He said, my business is to break up rackets. Oh, then he said, I have something to say. Then they allowed him to talk. He said, Brother said there were about 10,000 people in the gathering. Then he said, friends, see, this William Branham meeting, he said, my duty is to break up rackets. He said, but this William Branham meeting is not a racket at all. He said, it is the hand of the Almighty God. He said, then he told about the story of the boy that they brought to the polo. He said, the boy is now fine. He said, he is now in the school. He said, we have also looked at their finances. He said, there is nothing, the way they did it, and it's okay. So Brother Abraham said, the second day, this captain took Brother Abraham to a jail where is his office. And in that place, they had galleries, different galleries where they shoot, they teach people how to shoot. Said in this day, he said, young girls and young boys were there. He said, those young girls, they were cursing one another. He said, the young boys were terrible also. He said, at any rate, he said, this captain, he said, he took him to a gallery where the trained people had to shoot targets. Then, Abraham said, he had two guards, and he told his guard to leave. Remain only him and Brother Abraham. Then he told Brother Abraham, he said, Brother Bill, is there any way for me? And Brother Abraham said, what do you mean? Let me try to read that aspect as we close. Paragraph 21. Oh, let's start from paragraph 20. We went down into the gallery beneath, way down in the cell like. He said, here is where we practice with the young men. He begins to tell how far you could be from one place to the other and how to shoot, so forth. And I noticed he kept looking down at me, and I wondered what he was going to do. Dismissed the officers that were with him, and we went in this little place alone, metal all around, said Brother Abraham. I said, yes, sir. He put his hand over on my shoulder, and I thought, oh my. He said, wonder if there is any chance for me. I said, what do you mean, Captain Farah? He said, I haven't been a bad man. He said, I try to hold to the law and to do what's right. Bram said, that's your duty, sir. He said, but I really want to find Jesus. And I said, do you believe? He said, yes, sir. But I haven't found God. Belong to a church here. I don't know him, said. There is no need of me trying to fool myself. He said, I joined the church. I've been a member for years. Said, I don't know him that way. I said, all right, Captain Farah, you can receive him if you will believe, if you will just believe. He said, I tell you, before you leave Washington, you set some place where we will meet and we will go together, and there we will talk it all over. Said, you just visit. We will have a dinner and go out together and so forth. And maybe I will take my yacht, take it out and the bay area. I said, Captain Afara, he will receive you right here. He said, not down in this place or this gallery. I said, yes, sir. He said, will he come down here? I said, he went into the belly of a whale for a man. He went down in the fiery furnace to get some of his children out. He will come down into this gallery. There that officer unbuckling his gun and laying it on the floor and putting his arms around me like that, and God miraculously come down, saved him. Going to preach the gospel now. Preacher going out. See What thing the father is still concerned about the loss, no matter who you are, what environment you are in, Jesus will come anywhere to receive you. Praise the Lord. Will you come here? Oh, sure. Where two or three are gathered in my name, say what? There I will be in their midst. If you believe, if you want him now, he will meet you here. It depends on you. Let's bow down our heads. We have heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ again this evening. I've re-echoed this sermon back to us. What Brother Abraham said, how he started, lay foundation for this sermon, prodigal. I don't know what he has spoken to you this evening. If he has spoken to your heart, why don't you call on him? Why don't you speak back to him? He's waiting for you to talk back to him. But Abraham told Captain Alfara that if he believes, but Abraham told him that even in the place where they were shooting, God can meet him there. And it's the same God that we are still serving. What do you want God to do for you? Why don't you call on him now? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Remember, his steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Oh, new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. He's looking for his sons. He's looking for his daughters. He is the one that looked for Adam and Eve. The same way he's looking everywhere today. Looking and calling his strange son. His son that has gone far away from him. He's looking and he's calling. He's calling you today again this evening. Why don't you call on him? Come to him. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's sing that song two times now. Oh, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Great is thy faithfulness. want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you raise your hand unto him, Lord, help me, as his servant pray for us. God bless you, sir.
Our gracious Father, we thank you very much this afternoon for your goodness and mercies unto us. Lord, great truly is your faithfulness. You have shown your mercy unto us in this our generation. Lord, your love came down specially for your bride at this darkest of the ages. Lord, when Christ was put outside of the church, Lord, you have a people, Lord, that you love in this generation. And that, Lord, the dead that you die on the cross of Calvary is also for them. Lord, we are grateful that we are those people, Lord, because we can say that the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places, and that we have a goodly heritage. Thank you for your word that has come forth unto us again. Lord, we are the prodigal, O Father, that went far away from you. Lord, that at the appointed time, your spirit came upon us, Lord, to realize ourselves and to know that we have a Father that is ready to receive us. Thank you, dear Father, Lord, for spreading unto us over a welcome carpet to bring us back home. And Lord, you have dressed us with the best dress, and Lord, arrayed us, O God, with, Lord, everything gorgeously, despite the fact that we have lived a riotous life. We have lived, O God, far away from you, where your grace has brought us. We are grateful to you. We want to ask at this hour, you keep us ever close to your side. Help us, O God of heaven, that the rest of our lives will be spent for you. Dear God, we pray, Lord, for our young ones, Father, knowing that they will never be young twice. And the Bible, O God, has gone to every age, spoke to young ones, spoke to adults, spoke to everybody without exception. That which you have spoken unto them, may they take it, O Father, and use their strength, O God, to be able to serve you. In every area, O God, wherever they find themselves, Lord, don't let their record be empty at this their time, Heavenly Father. Give them an awakening, O Father, to know that their testimonies are needed, Lord, among their peers, Father. Let it be, dear God, whatever be the names of your people that made hands to go up, thou art God, and know the thoughts and the intents of the earth. May you grant all our needs, meet our requests, grant them, O Father. Lord, turn each one to testimony to the glory of your name. This is a new week that we have started today by your grace, and you have started it with us with your blessing. Continue with your blessing. Guide us and protect us from evil. Order our footsteps, Lord. Be with students, be with workers, be with business people. Watch over the travelers, O Father. We ask, O God, that whatsoever we put our hands upon, may you prosper them, Lord. Rebuke every devourer for our sake. Meet us at the point of our needs. Keep us happy, Father. Lord, keep us, O God, in a peaceful, Lord, with a peace of mind, O living God. Lord, every foul, wicked works of the enemy, keep them far away from us, Lord. Thank you, dear Master. Your servant, the pastor that we are expecting to, Lord, arrive in Nigeria on Tuesday and to be in, but by Wednesday, we pray you bring him safely, Father. Thank you for watching over him all this while he has gone, and watching over the church and family in his absence. We are grateful unto you. As he comes, O Father, may you renew his strength and help him, O Father, as he continues, O living God, Lord, in your service and the service of your children. Thank you, eternal Father. Go home with us, Father. Let your presence go with us. Bless us in all our ways. Lord, if you tarry and we are still here by Wednesday, bring us again our numbers and send your blessings unto us. Blessed be your wonderful name. All the blessings you have received today, may the evil one not beat them out of our hearts. May your spirit water them, dear Father. May they bring forth fruits of righteousness. Thank you, King of glory. Your servant you have used this afternoon, we ask you to call him and renew his strength and lift up the horn of his ministry. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are grateful unto the Lord that we have the privilege to be in church today, and the service of today is ended. When the officers met briefly in the afternoon and they reviewed our light situation, because once in a while we see the light dropping because we've been using a generator only for our services, because the NEPA light is not reliable. We can cut off any time and it causes a serious disruption and to affect our recordings and so on and so forth. And sometimes even the surge come and blow some of the engines. That's why they have resolved that we'll be using generators. But the present one we are using is getting tired and it's resigning. And by the assessment, by its performance, very, very soon we are going to be holding our services in darkness when there is no NEPA light. This thing that we used to speak will be out, which means we are not going to be having recordings, neither broadcast or anything, neither fan to cool anybody's body when there is heat. So, just to prepare our mind for what lays ahead, so that you not say that you have not told. See, the only way out of it is that God, if God will do a miracle and make a way for us to be able to buy a generator with the cables, because the cable too, that is also another thing that they discover is weak or to be changed. Everything is presently at 800,000. So I said that happens within a short time, the services will now continue to be in darkness. Well, we are children of the light. We are not children of darkness. May God keep us in the light and be gracious unto us. So as you pray about it, if the Lord touches you for anything, just see the deacons. This thing we are talking about, I don't think this thing can hold for 1 month, because we that stay in that place, in the office, we know the sound we hear from the generator side. It's a very terrible something. Well, apart from the consumption of fuel, when engine is getting old, the consumption of the fuel is times two. It consumes fuel, it consumes oil. As he's drinking this one, he's drinking this one. So this is where we are at the moment. So may the Lord be our help. If you don't have and you cannot pray, it means that you yourself are a liability. Because if you pray seriously and you don't have, you pray seriously, then God can purposely now come and bless me, then I will be able to give. But you don't have, and you still cannot also give, and you cannot pray, then you are a complete liability. Completely, I'm telling you. You are a complete liability to the system. May God not make us liability. Well, today I discovered that there was no request of a bad day sink. Well, as if there was bad day inside the way. I don't know this thing, whether the officers don't get to be aware or something like that. Are there no bad days? There's none. Let's sing happy bad day for the ones that you will know. Because I know that. Just play. I know of a sister that has a birthday this week that we just ended. Abby? Huh? Hey, so see now. So you'll be coming out. Joshua Olajide Abby? And then Sister Drew Jaye. So let's think about the brothers for sister and then sisters for brother. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. In a land where we never gladden our hearts. Everybody is different now. That's how I differ. You see, I've looked at it in the scriptures that people that pray that God, if you do this for me, I will do this. God never fail. No, if you read the scriptures, and that is how God's kingdom was promoted throughout the scriptures. So, and we are the continuation of the scriptures. May the Lord be our help. Shall we rise? I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I live for the moment in His own evil. Oh, I think of you. Thank you.